Hilton, Minka, congratulations. Sheesh. You've thrown me off a little bit here. I'm sort of like a little excited. Okay. Jess, Grant, Kate, thank you for serving us this evening. Where is Jess? I know I said it this morning, but I want to say it again. It's just so nice to have you back after. How many years was it? 10 years. So Jess used to lead worship with us 10 years ago and before. And so, yeah, it's so nice. So we're currently in the middle of a series. We're looking at spiritual gifts. I think, is this Sunday number 6 or somewhere there? I know that it could be easy, it could potentially be easy for us to lose our perspective a little bit and to start just thinking gifts, 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 and you get into kind of the gift zone. And I want to just help us to stand back a little bit and just remind us, we want to look at the one who gives the gifts. We want to look at the reason for the gifts. And so I want to frame this carefully and properly before we even dive into the next gift. I read from this passage a few weeks ago. I want to read it again, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 to 23. I do want to encourage you, bring your Bibles. It's so helpful to get your eyes on them. Apps, fine, great. I do have it on the screen, yes. It's so helpful when it's yours. Get familiar with it. So, verse 18, what a prayer to pray. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the mighty working of his strength. He exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. And so Jesus Christ was crucified on your behalf and on my behalf as a substitution. He tapped us out and he stepped in. And he took the consequences of our sin and rebellion and he died. And then he was raised from the dead, defeating death, our greatest enemy. He's been raised not only from the dead, but above every possible kind of authority out there, whether it's physical or spiritual authority that ever was, ever will be. And he's seated at the right hand of God. That's king kind of language. He's on the throne, ruling and reigning over everything. And he's also the head of the church, which is his body. And so when you think church, don't think building. Think people. This people. And the other people that are meeting in the Helderberg Basin this evening under the name of Jesus. And every Christian out there across the world who've gathered together to serve and worship Jesus, that church, Jesus is the head of that church, which is his body. How interesting that Jesus has a body. What does Jesus want his body to do? What does he want a body for? And so Matthew ends his gospel like this, Matthew 28. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now you get two groups of people who say this. One of them are complete maniacs. Or the other potential group is people who really do have all authority. And so Jesus is either an absolute maniac or he genuinely has authority over everything. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you know which one you've chosen to believe. And then he says, therefore, go make disciples. I have authority over everything. This is what I want you to do. Make followers of me. Bring my kingdom into this world. Luke ends with a similar emphasis in his gospel. Then he, Jesus, opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. There's another great prayer to pray. Hey, Jesus, open my mind. And he told them, this is what is written. Here's the summary of the gospel from Jesus. The Messiah, the Christ, will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, I am going to send you what my Father promised. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Jesus is talking about the promised Holy Spirit. I love that the Holy Spirit is not a reward. He's the promise from the Father. He's promised you and you and you. He's promised you the Holy Spirit. If it's a promise, what are the chances that you're going to get that? Oh, it's a guarantee. It's there. It's there for you. He's there for you. And so Jesus is saying the promise of the Father to be baptized with power to do this work. The Holy Spirit's there to empower you to do this. Jesus gives us a mission for his body, and then he gives power to complete the mission. And we started off in Ephesians, and so I'm going to pick up in Ephesians again, chapter 4, verse 7. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it says, and here he quotes Psalm 68, when he ascended on high, he took the captives captive, and he gave gifts to people. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth, and the one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. These are the gifts that he gives. Why? Why does he give them? Verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Who are the saints? You, me, every believer, every follower of Jesus is a saint. He doesn't give gifts to equip Glenn for the work of ministry and only Glenn, because he's the pastor. No, no, it's to equip you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And everybody here gets gifts to equip the saints to go and do this work. Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness, or other translations, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There's another great prayer to pray. And so spiritual gifts are not for you to have an experience. It's not the purpose of spiritual gifts. You may have an experience, but that's not the purpose of the gifts. The gifts is to go and do the work of ministry, to build the church, to strengthen his body, which is the vehicle that Jesus has chosen to use to have the mission to go and bring God's kingdom and make disciples. We need to put gifts into the correct category, because it's very easy for us in our consumeristic world. It's about me and what I can get, and gifts are about me. No. Gifts are not about me. Gifts are about building the body so that they can do the work of ministry. And so I would love for us to enter into this next spiritual gift today with this in mind. Jesus is on a mission. He's given us a mission. He's empowered us by the Spirit. And if we don't feel empowered, then maybe we can take the example of the disciples and to wait until we receive that power from God, and then to go and get on this mission. And if there's someone sitting here this evening that's thinking like, well, I don't really know what to do with my life, I can't think of a better purpose in life than to get on with God's mission. Yes, there's plenty of things that we can be doing. This is just the greatest of them all. Parenting, yes. Working, yes. Raising children, cleaning, providing, whatever it is. All of those things, yes. This is, wow, this is purpose. This is special purpose. And so, spiritual gifts. Let's pick up in Ephesians chapter 4, because we've already read it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Just want to read this one. Jesus himself, the resurrected, victorious, reigning king, he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets. I'm going to stop there. Let's talk about prophecy this evening. Now, immediately, what's just happened is that everybody's brains just pulled up a file. Maybe it's the old school paper cardboard kind of file, you know, those brown ones that are, or maybe you're thinking computers, it pulled up a file. Whatever it is, your brain just pulled up a file, subconsciously or consciously. And that file is full of what you've ever learned about prophecy, what you've been taught, what you've experienced, maybe your church experience, maybe that weird uncle, some extreme YouTube videos or TikTok videos. Maybe you've got some good experiences, maybe some bad experiences. Regardless, what I want us to all acknowledge is, oh yes, my brain just pulled up a file on prophecy as we start to think about it. And perhaps we even need to acknowledge in that file, there are some emotions as well. Let's just be honest with ourselves. There might well be some emotions even as we begin to think about prophecy. And it might be that what God wants to do this evening is take some things out of that file. Maybe he wants to put some things into that file. We've seen prophecy, many of us have seen prophecy go wrong. There are churches who have lost the plot entirely and even gone down the sect route because of so-called prophecy, inverted commas. And so we need to deal with this carefully. We need to deal with this thoroughly. And so the first thing I want to say is there's so much to say. This has been horrible. I've had to carve out enormous amounts of material. What do I speak on tonight and what do I leave out? This is really important that we get this right. The other thing I want to do is I want to pray just briefly if we can. Because I can't change your file. And you can't change your file. But what I want to do, if that's okay with you, I'd like for us to invite God into our file and to come and do some reordering. Very briefly, you guys up for that? Heavenly Father, we want to bring to you the the experiences we've had, the thoughts we've had, the file we have in our hearts and minds as we think of prophecy. All the experiences we've had, or the very few experiences we've had, whatever it is. But we bring to you our thoughts and feelings on the gift of prophecy, and we ask, we invite you to step into that file and do some work there. Please add what you want to add. Please teach us. If there are things that you want to take out and undo, please do that. We give you permission. Father, I pray for myself. If there's anything that is not from you, Lord, I pray that you'd put a guard over my mouth. And if I do say it, Lord, I pray that you'd put a guard over hearts and ears of people, that we would not receive that. But if there's anything from you, Lord, would that seep so deeply into our hearts? Reorganize our files, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It is going to be slightly longer tonight. I'm going to try and go 1.5 times speed, if that's okay. If you feel a little bit anxious, it's maybe because I'm going a bit fast. There's lots that I want to talk about because I want to do it justice. But let's see how we do. I want to cover some basics tonight. If you feel like I've missed some things, you're probably right. I know that I've missed a lot. I've intentionally, purposefully skipped out some things. If you're wanting to know more, if you're like, oh, prophecy, let me go and learn a little bit. Don't go to the internet. Please don't Google prophecy. Let's see what I can learn. That's a terrible place to go learn about prophecy. A good place to start is your Bibles, maybe keyword searches, websites with Bibles, apps, really helpful. Just prophecy, prophesy, they're spelled differently. Go search for both of them. See what you can get. If you'd like, I have some material I'd love to share with you. If you want to go deeper dive, I'll pass some stuff on to you. This is really good. I'm going to cover just a few things. We've spoken about that Ephesians chapter 4, God gave prophets. There's this gift that he gives. But it tells us very little about prophets. In fact, I can't tell anything about prophets apart from the fact that they're there. There are two other places where prophets are mentioned in Ephesians. And so what I want to do is just have a look at these two places. If you're up for it, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 20, Paul writes that Christians are, Inge, thank you for bringing this scripture up this evening already. Christians are members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Oh, that's interesting. Spiritual gifts. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. I'm going to jump to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 to 6. The mystery of the gospel was made known to me by revelation. That word revelation, it's almost like there's a curtain there and we draw back the curtain and something is revealed. Revelation. It was made known to me by revelation as I have briefly written above. By reading this, you are able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. This was not made known to people in other generations, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here's what was revealed. Here's the mystery of the gospel. Verse 6, the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. It used to be Israel were the promised covenant people of God. And if you weren't part of that people, sorry for you. And the mystery of the gospel's been revealed. No, all peoples are co-heirs with Christ, inheritors of the kingdom of God together. Mind-blowing moment. This is revealed to who? The apostles and the prophets. And so if we take chapter 2 and chapter 3 and we try and understand, what is Paul talking about when he's talking about prophets? Well, here he's talking about foundational revelation about the gospel, how we can be saved, and all of our faith is then built on that. It is foundational. And so that seems to be what Paul is talking about for prophets in the letter to the Ephesians. So if someone claims to be a prophet or have the gift of prophecy, and someone has in mind prophets from Ephesians, I can understand maybe why they're a little bit freaked out. Because if you have Ephesians kind of prophets in mind, you're thinking, are you telling me that you have the ability for God to reveal how to be saved in some new way? You're going to add to the message of salvation somehow. I think I can understand why someone might be a little bit weirded out. Someone says, oh, I have the gift of prophecy, or oh, someone has, you know, they're prophets and they came to speak at our church. There are some people who will be very upset by that. And well, if you're reading Ephesians like that, I can understand why. Furthermore, Romans 1, verse 1 to 2. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And so what someone may do is say, hold the phone, prophets write scripture. Can you see that? So what are we talking about here? People who say you have the gift of prophecy, are you writing scripture? Is that what we're on about here? Peter the Apostle, very similar, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. He writes, we also have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you'll do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you know this, no prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, there's lots to unpack there, but it's very clear that what Peter is talking about are prophets in the Old Testament who heard God speak and they wrote the words of God in Scripture. It is authoritative. God has spoken. You obey it. That's how it works. And so where does that leave us and the gift of prophecy. Well, if we stop here, if we just read those few New Testament passages, we might conclude that, well, to prophesy is to write scripture. It's the word of God, and it brings the revelation of the gospel. And so I would feel very uncomfortable right now if anybody said, no, I have the gift of prophecy, because I would say, oh, I don't think so. Because I don't think you're writing the Bible. And I don't think you're adding to any new revelation of how to be saved. Because after all, Paul writes in Galatians, if anybody preaches to you a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. So don't come saying that you've got some new revelation of how to be saved, because, you know, that's what Ephesians was talking about. But we can't stop here. All of those things are true, but that's not all that the New Testament has to say about the gift of prophecy. And I wanted to start from there because there's many people who, these are their objections to the gift of prophecy. And they would say, no, that's not functional today. Look at these scriptures. Don't tell me that you're going to add to scripture. Don't tell me that you're going to find better ways to be saved. It's already written in the word of God. And I want to say yes and amen to that. But the Bible does talk about prophecy and you need to listen. I might say it more kindly than that. I hope I do. And so let's have a look at some other passages. You guys still with me? You okay? It's a strange way to start, hey? Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. Paul writes, according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. I'm going to just leave it there. Paul, what are you saying? Are you saying we should write scripture in accordance with our faith? Are you saying in accordance with our faith we should find new ways from the Lord on how to be saved? I don't think that's what he means. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at some sections from chapter 12 and some sections from chapter 14. Chapter 12, verse 4 through to 10. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There's different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, etc., etc. Verse 10, to another, the gift of prophecy. Friends, it's still a gift that's given. It is still a gift that's given. The gifts, the ministries, the services, they are varied. They're different. There's a whole bunch of them. Secondly, each person, learning from this text, I'm just taking some things out and putting them into the file. I'm offering them. Hopefully you're putting them into your file. Each person receives something from God for the good of the people in the congregation. Can you see that? When we gather together here, there's gifts. You've got something to bring. You've got something to bring. You've got something to bring for the good of the people who are gathered. Prophecy is one of the gifts given by God. Not everybody gets that gift. Not everybody gets this gift. Not everybody gets that gift. They're different gifts. Some people get the gift of prophecy. And finally, from this passage, I think it's fair to say that the gift of prophecy should be used in such a way that it's good for people. It's for their good. It's for their benefit. And I suspect that there's a number of us here who've seen the so-called gift of prophecy, and it's not resulted in good things. No. It should be for the good. Fast forwarding to chapter 14. Paul is specifically addressing the abuse of the gift of tongues, but he is referring to prophecy, and so there's some things that we can learn here. Chapter 14, verse 1 to 5. Follow the way of love. I mean, you want to bank that one. And eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Lots going on here. Tongues, we'll get to that next week. Have fun with that, Glenn. Some things that we can learn here from this. Number one, we should eagerly desire the gift of prophecy. And I suspect there's some of us sitting here going, I do, I already do, amen. And there might be some of us sitting here, oh, I don't know. Eagerly desire it? Eagerly desire the gift of prophecy. Is that a suggestion or a command? I'm not trying to be funny. If you're uncomfortable, you just have to do business with the text. And if there's some feelings that come with that, I suggest you bring those feelings before the Lord. God, I feel... That's a good place to start. Next, prophecy results in strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. Now, let's not put the cart before the horse. This is good, and it's true. Now, there's something called cause and effect. In this case, the effect is encouragement, strengthening, and comfort. What is the cause of that effect? Prophecy. You with me so far? Now, what some people will do is they will look at the effect and say, well, I was so encouraged by that. Oh, that must be prophecy. And that, I think, is a mistake. That's a fallacy. What you've done is you've looked at an effect and you've said, oh, this must be the cause. Now, it's true. Prophecy can cause those things. But just because I can come to Inga and say, Inga, I love it when you host. You just do it so nicely, and I feel like I've just come into your home, and I feel at home. And what some people would say is, well, that's a form of prophecy because you've encouraged her. I said, sorry, I think that's a mistake. I've just encouraged her. It's not prophecy. I could prophesy, and she'll be encouraged. Great. What's the point of prophecy? What's the result of prophecy? Encouragement, comfort, and what's the other one? Strengthened. Okay? So prophecy results in those things. Doesn't mean that if those things occur, then it must be because of prophecy. And I think that that leads people to confuse prophecy a little bit. Prophecy edifies the church. It builds up the church. This has led, I think, some people to say things like, well, a rebuke or a correction can't be prophecy because you're not built up or edified. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I think from what I can tell in the New Testament, it doesn't give us a very narrow definition of prophecy. It sort of seems to be fairly wide and open. So, for example, in Acts chapter 11, verse 29, a man by the name of Agabus stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And this happened during the reign of Claudius. Now, what some people might say is, Agabus, we're not strengthened and encouraged and built up and comforted by your word. You're out of line, buddy. Is he? If the church is able to say, wow, there's a famine coming. God knows it's coming. God's not surprised by the famine. He's in control. So what are we going to do? So verse 29 and 30 tells us that they decided to send aid to the churches in the region of Judea. What are the church in Judea? What are the people there going to say? God knew this was going to happen, and he sent us aid. And things got pretty rough, and we got through. How loving is God? How caring is God? Are you strengthened in your faith? Are you encouraged? Are you comforted? Things are rough and God is with us. I'm comforted. Yeah, I think that's about right. That's prophecy. Agabus is not out of line. The church is strengthened and built up even sometimes when it might be that our hearts are exposed and laid bare. Because it says that in 1 Corinthians 14 as well. What happens when unbelievers come in and there's prophesying and they say, God is really among you, and their hearts are exposed and they fall down and worship God? Are you telling me that prophecy can't expose someone's heart and reveal? No, it totally can. And so, hey, God's shown me this thing, and just, you know, Glenn, I'm going to pick on Glenn. God revealed to me this thing, and Glenn breaks down weeping. God, you're real. Is that prophecy? Has God revealed something to me to speak to Glenn? Someone's going, dude, that's harsh. No, his heart was revealed, and he just got reconciled to the Lord. I don't think prophecy needs to be quite so narrow, but we do want to make sure we stick to biblical confines where they are there. Are you guys doing okay? Are you with me? Continue, chapter 14, verse 26. What then, brothers and sisters? I like it. Okay, guys, come on. We've done three chapters now on spiritual gifts. What are we going to land with? What are we going to conclude, says Paul? What then, brothers and sisters? Whenever you come together, each one has a hymn, a teaching, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. He's saying, guys, you all have spiritual gifts. When we gather, bring your gifts to bear. For the benefit of everybody, everything is to be done for building up. Is it possible to use my special gifts to kind of make it about me? I'm not building people up. I'm then, don't do that. Could I, like, you know, Philip tried to do something, but I did it better. That was a bad example. Glenn, sorry. Right? And what I'm doing is I'm trying to break Glenn down. And actually what he's saying, no, use your gifts for building up. Come on, guys, come on. Verse 29, what does this look like? Paul's writing, he says, two or three prophets should speak, and the others should evaluate or weigh carefully what is said. But if something's been revealed to another person sitting there, the first prophet should be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that everyone may learn and everyone may be encouraged. And the prophet's spirits are subject to the prophets, since God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. All right, a couple of things we can take away here, put them into our file. Order is what Paul is arguing for here. Too many people prophesying? It's chaos. 27 prophecies? What are we going to... No. Just 2, 3 tops. Okay? Let's just get some order. Now, very important. What should everybody else do? Evaluate. You see that? Other translations would say, weigh carefully. Can I hold the phone? Old Testament, prophets. God spoke through prophets. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, thus saith the Lord. You don't weigh those prophets. You just obey God speaking. And if those prophets are found to be wrong, stone to death. We're not stoning New Testament prophets to death. New Testament prophecy is something that the church needs to evaluate and weigh, test. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 20. Don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. So New Testament prophecy is now actually different from Old Testament prophecy. Old Testament, God's Spirit wasn't freely available to everybody. There's a select few. God spoke. We now have the scriptures. God's Spirit is made available to every follower of Jesus. God's speaking, leading, prompting. Different function. Might make mistakes. New Testament prophecy is Spirit-inspired, but it is fallible. Capable of making mistakes or being wrong. And it is subject to the authority of God's clearly spoken word found in Scripture. So if someone says, I have a prophecy, what they're saying is, I think God has put this on my heart. I think God is speaking. And we want to say, God has spoken the word. We will now weigh what you say according to that word. Everybody okay with that? Next, prophecy is something that God reveals to a person. Now, it might be that God reveals something in the future. It might be that God reveals something to you. He just wants to speak directly to someone. Maybe he wants to expose something in their heart. So many of us will think of prophecy, future. And it's just a revealing. Maybe future, maybe something else, maybe heart. Maybe something, I don't know. You've been asking the Lord something, and then just God speaks. Praise God for those moments. I love that he says, prophesy one by one. Prophecy is not a spiritual gift where the Holy Spirit takes a hold of you and you can't control yourself. Maybe you've watched enough movies, you know, and people start meditating and their eyes start flickering and something takes control of them. You might be thinking, well, you know, it's the Holy Spirit's going to take control of you and prophesy. I don't want anything to do with that. No. Prophecy is not the Holy Spirit taking control of your body and you start speaking stuff randomly. In fact, what Paul is saying is you start speaking prophetic word and someone has a revelation. Sorry, could you just stop there? Just share what you wanted. Fantastic, thanks. Okay, sit down. And then you had something. You're all waiting in line. Why? For order. Why? Because the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. God reveals something to you, doesn't take over. And you are able to, God's shown me something. It's ready. It's waiting for the right time. Because it's orderly, because God is a God of order and peace. So if you're feeling a little bit freaked out about spiritual gifts, I hope that that may allay some of it. But this is not weird Hollywood, Eastern, I don't know, whatever it is that you were thinking of. Orderly. And so finally, Paul writes at the end of chapter 14, verse 39, so my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. There it is again. And don't forbid speaking in tongues. Be eager to prophesy. Now, granted, the context for this chapter, we get some in chapter 14, verse 12, where he says, since you are zealous or eager for spiritual gifts, be eager to prophesy. So he has kind of said, hey, church that I'm writing to, I know you guys are super keen on this stuff, so let me direct your energy a little bit. Okay, fair enough. But what's he directing them to? Well, prophecy. Because it's valid and important for some reason. And so we might want to take that to heart and say, okay, God, I want to be eager for this gift. Because it builds up the church and strengthens and encourages them. And so in Ephesians, let me try and just kind of summarize where we've been. In Ephesians, what Paul seems to be describing is prophets that had foundational revelation of the gospel message, how to be saved. It was revealed to them. They wrote it down. That is foundational for salvation for all Christians. Ain't nobody adding to that. Galatians, let them be cursed if they try to. Peter describes the prophecy of Scripture, referring to Old Testament Scriptures. This is Holy Spirit-inspired revelation that is authoritative, infallible, no mistakes. It is Scripture, and we must obey. But elsewhere in the New Testament, there's a different category of prophecy, which is Holy Spirit-prompted subordinate revelation, where the bringer of the prophetic word might make mistakes, is capable of making mistakes, and it needs to then be subject to God's apostolic and prophetic authoritative Scripture, but it is still Spirit-inspired, and God does still use it. And so I've tried to take that from all the Scriptures we've read and distill some things, and I hope that there's something helpful. What I could have done is just said, here's a summary, believe it. And what I've tried to do is actually show you. Because what some people might do is say, no, that's not what the Bible says. So I've done my best to show you. What does the Bible say? And we've tried to get more whole picture. Now, I recognize that you've been sitting here for a while. And okay, cool. Can we just go home? Can I talk about some practical things? why we do things the way we do as a church. And perhaps in future, even as we look at these, we realize, oh, we can improve in some areas here as well. If we take these scriptures seriously, then we need to apply them somehow. Be eager to prophesy. Everybody has gifts. Contribute. Make it happen. Not just, we've got our musos and we've got the preacher and we're going to call it a day. Contribution as a community. Priesthood of all believers. When we come together, we recognize that each person has gifts. And that's one of the reasons why we have a host, like Inga. Everything needs to be done in an orderly way. And so someone might say, I have this I'd like to share. Oh, it's a word of encouragement. Someone might say, I have a testimony that I'd like to share. Someone might say, I just feel God's really put this on my heart. I don't know where this comes from. Maybe we could categorize that as prophetic. Someone might say, I feel like God wants us to pray into a specific area. I would call that prophetic. God's revealed something on his heart to you for us that we might benefit. Now, if everybody's doing that, it's going to be a little bit chaotic, especially if you get to some bigger meetings. And so what we are hoping is that our host would be able to facilitate some of that. Prayerfully go before the Lord. They've already been praying for days before this meeting. God, what do you want? What do you want to say? Where are you directing us? And then as this meeting is going, then people are coming forward just sharing something. It might be that Inga says, like that, we're going to go with that. Someone else is just going to go before you. Can I ask you to share that communion at the end? Thank you so much for that. I'm going to think about that one. Thank you very much. Now, that's the tricky one. That's the one that really tests our hearts. Because you know what happens is you're sitting in your chair and then your heart starts beating and you're like, oh, is this from the Lord? Have you felt that before? Is this God? Isn't it? I don't know. And eventually you're like, I'm going to explode. I got to get this one out. So then you go to Inga and you say, oh, I just feel like the Lord says this. And she's, thanks very much. I'll get back to you. Oh, now I'm back in my... Well, what does that mean, God? That's granted. That can be tough. But you've done your job. You stepped out. Inga must now go before the Lord on that one. Or if it's me, or if it's Glenn, or if it's Charmian. Okay, you've been faithful with what God has put on your heart. Sometimes that's a test of character. And if you're wrestling with that one a little bit, please come and tell us. Hey, what do I do with that? Really felt like it was God and you didn't. And can we talk about this? Not, we talk about this because you're a nasty person. Okay, the heart is here for the benefit of everybody. That's what we want. And maybe the host gets it wrong. Maybe I get it wrong. Maybe I've got it right. You know what sometimes happens is, I feel like there was one Sunday I was hosting and worship, our third song, fourth song, someone came forward and said, I feel like God really wants to speak to us. Okay, thanks. But what happened was three other people made a beeline. Whoop. All bang on the money. At least it felt like it in my heart. And so they all shared something. Now, what I didn't need to do was get the first person to share what they wanted to share because I felt like that for me was the stimulus. God, you want to speak? Here you are speaking. Fantastic. I didn't need the first person to share. But what it did was it broke open that ground and it stirred my faith. And I realized, God, you're doing something. Did it serve the community? Yes. Did they get microphone time? No. Does it matter? No. Because it's not about microphone time, is it? If that's okay. I know this can be a little bit difficult. Put yourself out there. Well done for putting yourself out there. Well done. When prophecy is shared, maybe it's on a Sunday, maybe it's a discipleship group, equip group, maybe, I don't know, three of you are meeting, whatever it is. How do we weigh and test prophecy? That's a great question. It's a great question. And I want us to think about it. Can I tell another story? Are you guys okay for time? I had a friend at varsity. She came Monday morning to varsity in tears. Why? What's happened? This guy visited our church and he said he is a prophet and he told me that God told him he's going to marry me. I don't want to marry him. Okay, well, maybe you don't need to marry him if you don't want to. And she sort of looked a bit shocked and she's like, but God said. maybe he didn't. Maybe the guy needs some love. I don't know. You know, someone to lay hands on him. Guess what? He didn't come back to church. Guess what? They didn't get married. Don't go around, God told me you're going to marry. Weigh it. Test it. Is this reasonable? Put it on the shelf. Pray about it. Is there something in your heart that resonates this? Does the Spirit who lives in you, is he going, yes? Is he going, hey? I like that option more. Weigh it. How should we test and weigh? Number one, is it in line with Scripture? Maybe you've heard these ones as well. I've heard a few of these stories. Someone arrives and says, God's told me you're to divorce your spouse and marry me. Let's weigh it with Scripture. Nope. That's an easy one because it's against what God has said. Just weigh it against Scripture. And of course, there are some more subtle ones that maybe it's not so clear. Maybe, okay, fine. We pray about it then. What do you feel God saying? And you get community. And you get people who are more on the prophetic side. And you say, would you pray with me? And they might say, yes, I agree, I disagree. Let's do that. Sometimes prophecy is not meant for you to make big changes in your decision. But sometimes you go through a journey and you look back and you go, remember when God spoke that thing? Look where we are now. What does that cause you to do? God, you're amazing. God, you're faithful. It didn't mean you had to make big changes then necessarily. Of course, there are times where God speaks and perhaps we do need to make big changes. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. The last one I want to put out there, this one's a little bit more subtle, a little bit more nuanced. How do we test prophecy? Or the question I ask is, do I know you? Are you a complete stranger? Are you submitted to the Lord? How mature is your walk? Do you know the voice of the Lord? What is the fruit of your ministry behind you? Is there a trail of destruction? I don't know. How well do I know you? Are you submitted not only to God, but to others? Or are you just a wild card doing your own thing? And I can't just say, well, I don't know you, therefore discard. But I've got a number of things that I'm weighing here. And that one is included. If that's okay? If I'm just scattering off a whole bunch of thoughts here, if that's okay. If you feel like God's put something on your heart, prophetic, you want to share it, come and share it. If you feel like it's directional, Celeste, I just feel like God said, you have to start a business, you have to quit your job, you have to, whoa, 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 excemos, whoa. Okay? Glenn says no. Okay, big directional ones like that, I suggest you submit those to leaders. Because who knows, maybe Celeste is not ready for something quite so big. Or maybe it's regarding the church. We need to buy this 40 million rand building and I've got the microphone on Sunday morning and I'm hoeing out and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. If it's a big directional thing for the church, you know, it'd be really helpful. Submit those to the elders so that they can go before the Lord and pray. Say, God, where do you want us to go? So that we can lead God's people at the right time and the right way. So we need to be careful for directional ones. I'm going to put myself out here. If you feel like God's saying to you, someone's going to marry someone, please don't share it. If you're saying, but Matt, it's burning in me. God told me to. I'm going to question you. And then ultimately, I'm going to say, please submit that to leaders. Please don't release that to those people directly. Please don't do that. I've seen that go pear-shaped too often. Please be careful. We're dealing with people. This is for encouragement, strengthening, building up. And there's a trail of destruction. People who can't fall pregnant, prophecies around that. Please be very careful. Please don't release those like you're just shooting from the hip. If it's burning on you, come submit those to leaders who will pray alongside. Okay, we need to be careful with those things. Please. I've got one final point. You guys doing okay? All right. I want to fight for balance. Gift of prophecy. We can go too far this way and we can go too far that way. Healthy middle. Too far one way is to say, prophecy, it's the winner, it's God speaking, and we go big on the prophecy, and too far. And the other one is to go, those guys are a bunch of weirdos and have lost the plot. No prophecy. And no, the answer to abuse is not non-use, it's correct use. That's just a really helpful phrase. Put that in any file somewhere. It's really helpful. The answer to abuse is not non-use, it's correct use. Okay? So some may argue that prophecy is too subjective. And if someone says, you guys have been going through some spiritual gifts, haven't you? And your church. Man, prophecy is too subjective. We have the objective word of God. Is scripture not enough? Have you heard that one before? I've heard that a couple of times. So here's my answer. Yes, scripture is enough. It is sufficient to know how to be saved, how to grow, who God is, all of those things. And in those scriptures, it says God gave the gift of prophecy. I've got to do something with that. Number three, and this is not something I'll go and throw out to people, but perhaps you're sitting here and this is a wrestle for you. Those who don't like the subjective, more nuanced aspect of a relationship with God and hearing God speak and prophecy and whispers, you're more objective by nature. You don't like that subjectiveness. You could probably grow a little bit in the subjective nature of a relationship with God. Learn to hear His voice and His character and His prompting. Learn what it feels like. Oh, I just feel like I've grieved the Lord there. Just feel like God's prompted me here and I did it. And there's a sense of Him smiling. Just a sense, like, go my boy. I mean, He didn't say it audibly, but it's just a sense in my... I've been waiting on the Lord for days and I felt Him lead me in this way. That's subjective. It is subjective. But that's the nature of relationship. It's subjective. You get to know the subtleties of someone. That's a beautiful thing. And so, I feel very uncomfortable with the idea of prophecy. Me too. Because all of those, I can give you a long list of stories where this thing has gone pear-shaped. I would much rather say, no prophecy. Bible. Except that the Bible says prophecy. And so I must grow. I must learn. Having said that, some of us nodding here going, yeah, we need to grow because prophecy is really okay. Let's make sure we're not going too far to the other side. Overemphasizing the need for prophecy and the subjective listening to the Holy Spirit for guidance is not the primary function of prophecy in the New Testament. Can I say that again? An overemphasis on the need for prophecy and the subjective listening to the Holy Spirit for guidance is not the primary function of prophecy in the New Testament. And so we must guard against that as well. The command to teach and to ensure good teaching and doctrine is far more prominent in the New Testament than instructions about prophecy. Does that mean no prophecy? No. It must find its rightful place. Authoritative word of God, and God still speaks to us today. We all have the Spirit. And those must go together. Is it equal weighting? No. The word of God is above that. I have lots of quotes here I wanted to read to you. For time, I'm not going to do that. Can I summarize for us? If you feel like I'm out, 60 seconds, okay, stay with me. Jesus has conquered sin and death. He has authority over everything. He has a mission, which is to restore and reconcile all things and all people on this earth to Himself. He's given us the Holy Spirit to empower us to fulfill this enormous and wonderful mission. And there are different gifts of the Spirit to help with this mission, to build up the body so that it can do what it needs to do. And prophecy is one of those gifts. And when we say prophecy, we're not talking about new revelation and how to be saved, Ephesians. We're not talking about prophecy of Scripture, Peter. We're talking about the New Testament gift of prophecy that is still fallible, but it is Spirit-inspired. God reveals things to individuals to speak and to share to others, which results in the church being encouraged, strengthened, and comforted. And God wants His church to grow and to bring His kingdom into the world. And prophecy must find its place in there. And what a place to find itself. And so I'd love for us to pray and respond if you guys are okay with that. Feel free to respond however you'd like. Get up, move around, close your eyes, raise your hands, however you want to do it. Father, we bring to you our file of prophecy and how we understand prophecy. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would solidify anything and everything that is from you. Put that into this file of prophecy. Help us to understand how you want us to use prophecy. There's so much more to discover. Lord, I pray that you would lead us to a right understanding. Teach us. Help us to be humble. Please give us faith and not fear. Please guide us. Give us good mentors in this area. I want to invite two groups of people now to respond. The first group, and if you close your eyes, that's great, and then no one's looking at you, and you feel free to stand. If you feel like you would like the gift of prophecy, eagerly desire, you feel like you already have, or perhaps you're just not sure, but you maybe would like, I invite you to stand just before God, saying, God, I want this. The second group is if something of this mission has maybe been stirred inside of you, and you're saying, I want to understand this mission more. I want to go on this mission. I want to be obedient. Maybe God's prompting you to do something. Or perhaps you're just saying, I don't know what this looks like, but I want in. I want to invite you also to stand. So there's two groups of people. Maybe the gift of prophecy, or maybe it's the mission that Jesus spoke about. Father, we commit these two groups of people to you. For the people who are asking for the gift of prophecy, maybe they're questioning, God, do I have it? Do I not? Lord, I pray that you would make it clear. I pray, God, that you would open their hearts and their ears, incline them towards you to hear you speaking, to understand your prompting, to recognize your work in both their hearts and minds. That suddenly when something pops into their consciousness, that to recognize, oh, this is God and this is not God. Please, Lord, use the gift of prophecy in Liberty to build and encourage and strengthen and comfort your people so that we might be better equipped to get on with the mission that you have for us. Holy Spirit, please fill us afresh. Baptize us afresh with power. Teach us to wait until you fill us so that we can go. I want to pray for people who have a burden for mission, have a question about this mission, or are wondering about next steps for this mission. Lord, would you empower them afresh, speak to them, lead them, orchestrate by your sovereign will, open doors, close doors. Help us to be a people that go and make disciples. Break our categories and molds where they're unhelpful and incorrect, and help us to get on with the work that you've given us, all of us, to do. Thank you, Jesus, for this series on spiritual gifts. Would you please work it in our hearts such that we understand the gifts are about Jesus for the benefit of his beautiful body, the church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.